for sale. Lavo walked down the street and saw the reflection of the bright, colorful fireworks in the cold metal skyscrapers. She rounded the corner and looked up into the open street-side second-story window of the Noodle House, which was partially illuminated by the electric red lights that formed its sign on the far side window. She walked on. "Hi." Hamish smiled hello at the person he was pretty sure was named Regina. "You're Lava's boyfriend, right?" Hamish smiled and said, "Yep." He sat down with his beer, but not at his usual table. He was now fairly certain of Regina's identity. "Sorry, I forget your name." "It's Hamish," said Albert Hamish Bulger, as he took a sip of beer. "So," said Regina Flackenstein, "you just felt like grabbing a beer at the ramen shop?" She was helping herself to a refill at the water cooler. "Well, I'm actually waiting for Lava." He looked at the clock on the wall. "Is she late?" asked Regina. "Is she normally late?" Hamish nodded yes, but he wasn't sure exactly what question he was answering. "So," he said, "what are you up to?" "Oh," answered Regina, "I just have a little business meeting over here." Hamish smiled, pleasantly, or so he attempted, at least. Regina walked back to her table where she sat with another human. Hamish took a sip of beer and looked at the clock on the wall. Eventually, Lava walked through the door. I cannot think of one horror in the world that doesn't have, at its roots, the United States Empire. Lava looked at Hamish, noticing his eyes beginning to glaze over, as they usually did when she felt the need to push a particular political point. "Of course, I use that as a catch-all for the grander, somewhat nebulous imperial project that yearns for complete control over everything. But I maintain the fall of the Empire is a precondition for the solving of our world's problems, many of which will evaporate right along with the fading Empire. The Empire will fall away, leaving the world free to be itself. The trick, of course, is simply to stop identifying with the Empire. And, I maintain, there will be no new problems created that do not already exist for some of us now anyway, during the current time." Lava shoveled some noodles into her mouth and slurped them up, broth splattering around the table. "So," she said, "how was your day?" America gives me gas. Patriotism makes me queasy. I ain't no goddamn patriot. Slaves to your masters, why must we sell ourselves short? Why must we sell ourselves at all? We all move so fast, everything slips right through us. We make no effort to digest. Digestion is the key to sustainability. How long you think this all will last? These dreams are not your dreams. Don't be so goddamn lazy. This ain't how it should be. This world is fucking crazy. So subversive, we recreate their structures. Don't even graffiti the walls. If a bridge is to be built without enriching awareness, that bridge should not be built at all. Gatekeeper, why do you try not to let me through? Fuck you and fuck the law. Why are we so tame? These chains are not that heavy. Why do we play their game? Let's change the rules already. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Don't you know time is a crock of shit? That's funny on so many levels. The angels and the devils are all singing the same song. Too late to turn back now. We're already here. Why not stop and sing along? These dreams are not your dreams. Don't be so goddamn lazy. This ain't how it should be. This world is fucking crazy. We're having a party. Chapter 14, All Night Long. Generic sat at the bar, sipping the yellow-green liquid out of the encharactered mug. He was waiting on his order of fried gizzards. He was eating for four, so to speak. The view screen was displaying a sporting event from a distant land. It somehow involved branded umbrellas, which were obviously somehow related to an intraconsciousness voice identification system, although Generic wasn't entirely clear on how. He was thinking about life and death. He was thinking about sacrifice. He was thinking about the price of things, and whether or not things were worth the price that you pay. Generic sipped his hot tea. It's not your decision to make. Generic looked over his shoulder. Earlier in the day, as he came upon the Kava Festival, as the children of the Outsiders ran around in their silly imperial costumes, ineptly playing their ridiculous war games on its borders, Generic tried to keep the rage of witnessing the profound disrespect of those games from drowning out that kipuko that was the festival. He had watched the toy soldiers scarper off towards the sea and entered the bounds of the festival, letting the music wash over him. Quantum Jitters sat down to his right. The temporal disturbance waves are subsiding. Thought you might want to know. I like your hat, by the way. Generic sipped his tea. More noodles, I see, observed Quantum, vocally. He popped the last pregnant fish into his mouth and smiled. Garble, 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 he said. He swallowed. Where's your partner? Off with the Happy Work volunteers. She thought they could do with some self-focused celebration. She fixed that bicycle of hers? Generic nodded wistfully. No, scratch that. Perhaps it was absentmindedly that he nodded. Well, Let's just say that, as he nodded, his mind was somewhere other than the bar of the food and beverage establishment where he drank his tea. And this, somehow, had something to do with bicycles, which, of course, was then some kind of metaphor having to do with souls, bodies, and consciousnesses. Although Generic still wasn't entirely clear on the particulars. Did you say something about reality waves? Quantum Jitters smiled, patted Generic on the shoulder. Quantum Jitters patted Generic on his head and scuffled his hair. Anyway, when you're all done digesting your meal, you might want to gather the crew. I think we are about ready to ship off to the other side. Generic sipped his tea. Generic thought about hard decisions. Generic thought about sin and judgment and solidarity. Generic thought about redemption. An arm intruded upon the scene. Generic reached out and grabbed his bowl of gizzards. Check, please. The last bowl of ramen that you're ever gonna eat. The last neon sign you're ever gonna see in that window. It's the end of an era. It's the last bowl of ramen that you're ever gonna eat. The last neon sign you're ever gonna see in that window. It's the end of an era. It's the end of an era, the end of an era. It's the end of an era. It's the end of an era. No more plate of noodles, no more pregnant fish. Where you gonna get your bowl of gizzards now? It's unknown. No more plate of noodles, no more pregnant fish. Where you gonna get your bowl of gizzards now? It's unknown, it's unknown. It's the end of an era, the end of an era. It's the end, the end. End of an era. It's the end of an era. All things go pow. All things go pow. All things go pow. All things go pow. Ole like ka. Kalani Ole Like 1 and 2 Ole Like pink and orange Ole Like me and you It's the end of an era The end of an era, it's the end of an era. It's the end of an era. Never gonna walk down that road and see that name carved in the ground again. They paved over that path a long time ago. Never gonna look to the sky and see the moon in the same way. Never gonna do the things we did yesterday, today. Never gonna look in the mirror and see who we were. Never gonna do so many things, so many things if you think about it. It's the end of an era, it's the end of an era, it's the end, the end, the end. and the end of an era. It's the end of an era. For so long, things were how they were, and now they're different. How will we ever cope with such a change? For so long, things were how they were, and now they're different. How will we ever cope with such a change? For so long, things were how they were, and now they're different. How will we ever cope with such a change? For so long now, things were now how they were. Now they're different. For so long now, for so long now, I must be going. So long now, I must be going. It was good to be here, but I must be going. I just arrived, but I must be going. So long, I must be going. For so long, for so long, for so long. For so long, things were how they were, and now they're different. How will we ever cope with such a change, such a change? It's the end of an era. It's era, which I guess makes this a new era. The petition. The story was not coherent. Well, perhaps it was, but I only read part of it, see, so I could not make sense of it. I mean, I had to fill in the gaps with my imagination. I mean, everything that was stated functioned as a constraint, but everything that was not stated was simply an abyss of possibility. I was having trouble fitting a frame around the picture, so to speak. I did not want to exclude any of the facts, and certainly I did not want to exclude any voices. But was it so much to ask to be able to follow along in a manner that I found both pleasurable and empowering? Okay, let us assume for a second that we are inside of a video game. Like existence? Sure. Let us assume that at any second we could be pulled out of this reality and into one that was more substantial, more real. Now this reality here is a game. And when we left the game, we could look at how we did. If you got pulled out now, how would you think you did? Well, I suppose that'd depend on the social relations that I was amongst in the real world, wouldn't you think? No, I get your point. If I'm going to stay here, voluntarily or not, I might as well play my best game, because you never know when you're going to run out of quarters. That was a joke. I get it. I wish I could stay the same. Say, you wouldn't happen to be a C-section baby, would you? The scorpion danced across the amber sands. The doorway to something unknown creaked on its hinges. And the author remembered that she was opposed to this particular occupation. In fact, she remembers having signed her name on a petition. wake up in the morning. The birds are singing. You're looking at me. The sun is shining through my window. There's a slight breeze. Nothing's ever gonna be the same. Nothing's ever gonna be the same. Nothing's ever gonna be the same. Ever gonna be the same. I wake up in the morning. The birds are singing. Something's moving through the trees. The sun is shining through my window. About two brothers who go off every night to help out the other one, and they don't know about it until one night they meet and embrace, and it makes God weep. I don't know, why cannot it be for us to show a little empathy? That girl over there is you and me, Palestine. Right is right, and this is so clearly wrong. It ain't even about why can't we just get along. Too many people think that being strong means oppressing someone else. I'm against the occupation of a great many things, but especially nations full of people and places and hearts and minds, Palestine. I once wrote about it in a letter. It's clear building walls can't make things better. It won't make you safe or secure. But that's not the argument I want to make. I want you to choose, for goodness sake. Open your eyes and don't forsake Palestine. As I looked into her eyes that day, I thought, no one should have to live this way. I don't know what more there is to say, Palestine. when it all changed, or the telltale instant after which it is no longer the same. And puzzling it was, a maka maka helu helu. There is a difference between the way things were before and the way they are now. Yet, I cannot help but feel that the more things change, and so on the bus, the previous day, the same bus, but I digress. There is a difference, yet there is a similarity to previous feelings that I can relate to in my mind. Sitting here, able to view all of our collectively missed connections and unexplored opportunities, as history bumbles on like some bumbling thing that bumbles, I think, if there is no plot, why would anyone want to exist in this story? Unless there was something to existence itself. I decided to tidy up before the next storm. There's a flood a-comin' if we don't act fast. There's a flood a-comin' and I'm just sitting on my ass as it carries me across these desert sands. By ass I meant a donkey, of course. Do you know what that is? It's sort of like a horse, but it's a donkey, of course. Where do you think we're going? Where do you think we've been? What do you think you're doing there? Come on, let me in. There's a dog a-barking, it's barking for me. It's talking about something that I cannot see. There's something coming down the road. What do you think you're doing there? What do you think you're doing there? What do you think you're doing there? Flood a-comin', it's coming for me. There's a flood a-comin', cannot you see? That's why lakes, that's why oceans, why snakes? Where do you think we're going? Where do you think we've been? What do you think we're doing here? Come on, let me in. Come on, let me in. Let me in. Are you buying this shit? Intermission. Thanks for picking me up. Our traveler looked to its feet and noticed the dirt crumbling off onto the passenger seat floor mat. I might be getting your vehicle dirty. No worries, said the driver, who had so graciously offered to give a stranger a ride. Later in the conversation, the driver would invite our traveler to a party at Auntie Sally's. Sentence fragments from their time spent on the road. My name is Kaylee. I am still, what do you call it, Malahini to this place, but I'm learning. I seem to have misplaced my postage, which would be a shame, as mailing this letter was the prime focus of this particular leg of this particular journey into town. Hot one today, yeah? O Malia Ko'ui Noa. Oh, from the back, I thought you were that other guy. Do you know him? Well, if you find it, it's yours. Thanks for the lift. Contact is very important, don't you think? Okay, enough with the bullshit. I am not really that concerned with the question of whether or not you are buying it or not. This is what I like to call a fish of a different color. Truth be told, sometimes I get so caught up in trying to communicate that I completely forget to pay attention to the message. Now, I am pretty sure that you have already received my message. So why are we still writing? Yawn. Type, 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 type. Headache. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Seriously, though, what do you think is happening here? And what is stopping you from responding to my questions? I am not so sure who taught you how to read, but this is interactive media, you know. And this technology only functions with the application of your consciousness. I am not going to beg you, though. I am not that kind of huckster. Uh-oh, they are listening in again. Let us pretend we are inside of a fictional novel. Now, where were we? Spoiler alert! None of the characters in this book actually exist. They are all fictional, imaginary characters. So, do we really care what mystery Gus Pye, P.I., is currently working on? The case of the human that might be pooping in the community garden, aka the case of the mysterious flesh-eating poop virus? Or whether Jed and Quantum Jitters are able to alter the reality structure such that we all find ourselves living in the world of our choosing? Or whether Hamish ever actually finishes that database? But I jest slightly. I am not that concerned with what you think you desire to know. Let us say that this book's philosophy of information service does not really care what your specific preferences are. If you like your stories packaged a certain way, tough shit. Find another information source. Many schools and all that. Yet, for some reason, you seem to find yourself here. Now, you can try to make the most out of your time spent inside this venerable institution, or, I don't know, perhaps you could stop wasting our precious time and build your own. But us authors do not see why we should be bothered to put forth effort communicating something that you cannot be bothered to put forth effort into comprehending. So, either we are all in this thing together, or we continue to use that shitty old job metaphor, and the flavor of our lollipop will suffer. So, have I sold you yet? The fuck are you talking about? Gus Pye, public investigator, returned the kelepono to its pahu after the other line went dead. Something fishy was going on. His secretary was still on vacation, and the temp in the waiting room was not quite getting the, modus operandi that Gus, you know, whatever. It's not important. Point was, something fishy was going on. Gus looked at the notebook on his desk and wondered, where did I put that other notebook? The one with all the notes that I took on my trip? Gus yawned, because he was both tired and lazy, like a tuna fish or something. Indeed.
I don't think we communicate so well. I guess what it is that we're two different people. I don't get to sit and look at these stars very much. I think that I am feeling out of touch. Well, that's what happens to people. That's what happens to people. My backyard's not much to talk about. I've got this friend who has a slight case of the gout. I guess that I would call him my friend. I suppose that's what he is. Singing this song to a rat that is sitting on a ladder. I suppose that it is a rat and not just a bunched up rag that's blowing in the wind. Can see that you are looking at me, and I know you know what I am talking about. You all just want to be free. You just want to get out.
So I'd like to set this next one up. So our character, Sadie, who is a fiction writer that works sometimes for an imaginary library system called the Orange Juice Public Library, is writing a letter to two of her acquaintances, one of whom lives in Chicago and was once the fiction acquisitions librarian at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, while Sadie was working as the official OJPL publishing huckster for all of Oahu, and the other of whom Sadie at one point sold an OJPL music album for the price of a tree that this future microbiology PhD student sketched at the Hawaii Book and Music Festival that Sadie had attended on quasi-official business. So here's the letter that Sadie is writing to these two people. Dear Sveta and Huang, I think I am sitting on a bench looking at your tree, but everything is so different. No pavilions, for instance. I am eating a lunch of leftover quinoa and cabbage and a loaf of papaya bread picked up from one of the vendors that operates on the ground floor of the building where Kaili'i works. Lots of coincidental happenings on this windy day that threatens to blow my hat from atop my head. Hoping you are well, Sadie. First thing that you do is take a bath. The next thing that you do is do some math. I don't know where all these words are coming from. Do you? Perhaps it has something to do with the world.
and how it's made out of jelly beans. Or doo-doo. Well, I guess that was just one verse. Oh, what would be worse than that? For us to stop singing this song? Well, I don't know about that. But I got this nice hat, I guess. And that's something I suppose. Do 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 do. And if you got anything else to say, just send it my way. I'll get the message eventually. Do, 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 do.
On the nature of things that flow, an imaginary manifesto for our unyielding revolution. Chapter Self-Checkout. While Sadie had come to the conclusion that the specifics of her personal story were largely irrelevant to the goals of our grand revolution, she nevertheless found it nigh impossible to break out of her current perspective. Like, she totally existed in a specific body that had to pee and wanted to cry all of the time. Before she knew it, her paradigm was going to have shifted completely, and now she had herself wondering what she was thinking. As if this was a choice she could have not made. As if she was the mistress of her destiny. As if her gender was something a person could actually choose. Someone walked up to the desk and used one of the staplers. She had her earbuds in her ears, this person. Sadie looked up and noticed a depth of vision that maybe before she hadn't seen. Sadie finished another chapter of If I Was Your Girl with tears pushing at her eyes. She had been more emotional ever since she had spoken aloud the fact that she wanted to be a girl, which had the effect of unblocking some sort of psychological dam, I guess, or opening up some new secret level on her cosmic video game. And now, with the hormones, she was starting to wonder about some maybe shifts in the, doors of her perception. Like, she was only 2.5 weeks in, which was too early for any noticeable change. But she found herself thinking those thoughts she would think at the start of a mushroom trip, or after letting a tab of LSD dissolve under her tongue. Was that the drugs? Do I feel different? Maybe it's not working. Maybe it's all in my head. Like, she poked at her nipple and felt a dull pain. That was real, whatever the cause. Sadie wasn't quite sure what a dull pain was, and if this accurately described the sensation she felt, which was now lingering a bit. Tonight was support group night, but she hadn't gone. She sat in her room and listened to the howling winds and the off-and-on bursts of rain. A lot of the girls were maybe not going tonight, which Sadie had said, too, that she probably wouldn't, on the online social networky thing that made Sadie feel like an old woman. This was the first scheduled meeting she had missed since she had first started attending. Support group was another communications technology that she didn't quite know how to navigate, and, like, found useful, but would rather it led to relationships and conversations outside of its narrow confines. Sadie was now thinking that her metaphors were probably a little sloppy, and how, like, technologies are generally tools that help you navigate through bodies of water that you might find yourself swimming in. And so, she clarified to herself, she wasn't navigating through the technology, but using the technology to navigate through the all-encompassing morass that was her life. But now she was thinking that, no, obviously you could have systems within systems within systems that feed off of and flow into one another. Boats turning into rivers, crashing through library basements, where maybe you need a map to help you navigate to finding that particular book to give you that knowledge that steers you through the black ocean under your moonless sky. Sadie's coworker was taking a grammar class where they learned about language and how to edit monographs and stuff. Sometimes Sadie didn't realize, in real time, the possibility matrices that consistently sprung up throughout her day-to-day conversations, generally too caught up in her own bullshit plans to actually listen to what the world was saying through its human mediums. Like, once you more or less lay your groundwork, sometimes you have to let the people mover take you wherever it goes, enjoying the ride and engaging with the, metaphoric somethings that, portals to alternate futures? Sadie yawned, which was good or whatever. For some reason, she was satisfied with her day's output, which somehow felt odd. Sadie had literally sold her previous self to the land, which had, like, digested her and shot her back out a new woman. Like, sorry, said the verse, we are not buying this shit at all that you are selling. This here is the truth of what you are. And while this was all well and good, Sadie still could not make heads or tails of whether or not this versal reassessment of her being constituted a fundamental rejection or an acceptance. And one of her biggest fears, actually, was that she would express who she was, and an other would truly see her for what she was, and would reject her because of who she was. Now, Sadie was wondering whether she was just another replicant created by the Rosen Corporation, without that breath of life that real people possessed. Well, whatever. This parenthetical paragraph of a moment in her life was kind of all over the place, like that jazzy free jazz song that the DJ had played yesterday that made Sadie think of her own artistic style, which, like an oscillator, one who, or that which oscillates, oscillated back and forth from ugly nonsense to beautiful perfection, from mundane mediocrity to heavenly poetic genius, depending on the minute digit on the face of the blinking digital clock. Point was, the pertinent question here is, what was Sadie's place in the world? What was her role? What was her specific kuleana, now that her relationship with the land had fundamentally changed? Sadie Rose Rosen looked to the wordless direction and almost caught a glimpse of something. Gently teasing, always gently teasing, she picked at this thread. Patiently, she picked some more. The pickled beets that Sadie ate as a quarter to midnight snack tasted so very meaty, and tangy, satisfying, and red. In the morning, she woke up, put some water in the teapot, turned on the burner, and swallowed her pills. She leisurely began her face-shaving ritual in the bathroom, the washcloth boiling hot on her face and neck. She spent a little time examining her mirror image, imagining that maybe it seemed like there wasn't as much hair growth as usual, and feeling a bit hopeful. She plucked her eyebrows a bit, and, way behind on grocery shopping, wondered what she was going to do about breakfast and lunch, which shouldn't make her so overwhelmed, but like, maybe she wanted to try and put on makeup today. And oh my goodness, her rooms were a mess. Time kept on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future, which, of course, would soon be the past, so really time was moving backwards, and is why we say that the future is behind us and our past is laid out in front of us or whatever, but it's all an illusion anyway, since obviously it is possible to move sideways in time, or in loop-de-loops, or even above, to the above time, which is totally a thing that Sadie could recall from a memory she places on a streetcar in New Orleans and carnival season, which Benitez Rojo describes as inscribed within a time lag and consisting of concentrations of paradoxical dynamics by virtue of which the world becomes a travestying mirror. Page 306 of The Repeating Island. Sadie's gut lurched a bit. Thinking of food made her nauseous? Or did her intestines just need to be filled with something of real substance to allow her to maintain her balance as she wobbled along the cliff?
There's a girl and a boy, and they're talking with one another in word bubbles. And the words are all around them now. How did they get there? And I'm talking with you, and I believe this in the deepest of places where I believe things. Monkeys and horses are not your playthings. Cannot you see this? And now we're going back again. What if we have not yet even begun? What is it you want? Is it what I want? Is it what everybody wants? There's a peach on the table there. And it's holding down all my papers. There's a heavy weight there. Someone must have put it inside. And it's almost time for what I'm not really sure, but somebody must know. He said to her that you do not look up enough, and so she looked up. What did she see there? Something was up there for her to see. And she said, "Why do you do that? It is not relevant to what we are talking about." The cows and the dogs . The flowers and the trees . Everyone wants to be even the chickens. And oh, look over there. It's so symmetrical. It's almost like you planned it that way. We are all constructs. And we are all alive.